Good to see each of you here. Appreciate your presence. It's good, always good to be able to study from God's Word together. As we were singing that song, I couldn't help but think the one verse said, "Take time to be holy, the world rushes on." We live in a world that seems to be filled with everybody in a hurry and rushing and everything going on so fast around us. And had a good friend in Florida as a medical doctor, and he retired and moved to South Carolina, and retired at a relatively early age, and bought him a house up on a mountain in South Carolina, and it was a beautiful place, and he lived there for about 6 months, and he sold it and moved back to Florida. He said, "The whole world's going by me. I'm sitting up here doing nothing." The fact is, we just live in a hustle-bustle world, and Joel picked out songs that have to do with our everyday living, and the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians, as well as in Colossians, that we sing to encourage each other, and we sing to teach and to build up each other, and that's exactly what we've been doing this evening, and as we think about that. We're going to talk this evening about the faith of Abraham, and as we think about the faith of Abraham, I'm reminded of someone that I was talking with just this past week, and I'm not going to tell you his name because some of you do know him, but is a man who has been through probably more than most of us will ever face in a lifetime, and he's been through it just in the last 2-3 years. He's had major family problems. He's had health problems that you and I cannot even imagine having to deal with. And he still has these problems, and now, on top of that, he has financial problems. And I was talking to him about carrying on day after day with all of this on top of him, and he said, "I just try to trust in God," but he said, "Some days it's hard to do. It's hard to do." You see, he lives in this world. And he's facing all of these problems and he's facing all of these trials in his life. And he's thinking to himself, "I've got to trust God. I've got to put my faith in God." How do we do that? Abraham stands out as a super example of faith. Abraham was a man of faith, and God said, "I want you to leave the country where you live and go move away from your family, go to a place, and I'll tell you when you get there." Didn't even know where he was going. But he did it. God told Abraham, "You and your wife are going to have a son." And 20 years later, he still didn't have a son that God had promised. But he didn't give up. Tonight we're going to talk about one of the greatest events of demonstration of faith in his life that there is. In the book of Romans in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul there talks about the faith of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, beginning there in verse 1, and I'm not going to be using the overhead tonight, as one preacher I heard recently say, he said, "You might want to power up your phones or your tablets and pull up this book, chapter, and verse on them. So if you have a Bible on your telephone, pull it out and pull it up." But we're looking at Romans chapter 4, verse 1. "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is faith? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned or counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness." And what is so good about that particular passage, it tells us about Abraham, and he's counted as righteous because of his faith. But then he says, it's not just Abraham I'm talking about. I'm talking about us too. We can be counted righteous because of our faith. If you drop on down to verse 22 of that same chapter. He says, "Therefore also it was reckoned to him," talking about Abraham, "as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, him who was delivered up because of our transgressions, was raised because of our justification." So Paul says, I'm not just talking about Abraham, I'm talking about us. We can be counted as righteous if we have the kind of faith that Abraham demonstrated in his life. Over in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3, Paul says basically the same thing as he writes to the Galatians. There in chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, he says, "Even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned him as righteousness. Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith that are sons of Abraham." And if you drop on down to verse 26, he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And so what Paul is saying is, Abraham is our example of faith, but we can have the kind of faith that Abraham had. And just like Abraham was counted as righteous because of his faith, we too can be counted righteous because of our faith. As I mentioned, it was not just one event or two events or something here or there. When you read the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis, one of the things that will stand out, and if you've never done this, just read through the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis and underline every time he built an altar. Everywhere Abraham went, first thing he'd do, he'd build an altar and worship God. You see, Abraham had the kind of faith that was demonstrated not just when there was some major catastrophe in his life, or not just when God said, "You do this or you do that," some big something. But every day of his life, Abraham was worshiping God and he was serving God. And everywhere he went, and he moved around like a nomad, and everywhere he went, he would build an altar and he would worship God. But probably the greatest single event of demonstration of faith in his life is when God appeared to him one day and said to him, "I want you to take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, carry him over to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering." In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, we read there of this event. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning there in verse 17. Of course, this is a chapter of faith, and he's talking about the faith of different people, and he's talked about the faith of Abraham and how he left his home and he went to a different country that God told him to go to. And then verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called.' And he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." God told Abraham, "I want you to go, and I want you to offer up your son." Now if you go back over to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, you can read this story that tells of this event. Leading up to this story, you need to understand that God had been promising Abraham for years that he was going to have a son. Well, Abraham was getting old. His wife Sarah was getting old, and they didn't have any kids. And God kept saying, "Okay, you'll have a son," and they kept saying, "Well, when?" It wasn't working out the way they thought it would or the way they thought it should. So finally, Sarah told Abraham, her husband, one day, said, "Why don't you take my handmaid, Hagar, and you can have a son by her, and that'll be the son that God has promised." And so he said, "Okay, if that's what you want, I'll do that." And so he did. In fact, he had a son and by his wife's handmaid, and they named him Ishmael. And God appeared to Abraham. He said, "Nope, that's not the son I was talking about. You got one, but that's not the one I was going to give you. You're going to still have another son, and it'll be from Sarah, and through him all nations of the earth will be blessed." And so sure enough, when Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham was 100 years old, they had a son. They named him Isaac. Now you can imagine, you know, when you have kids in your older age, you have a tendency to maybe spoil them a little more than you would if you had them when you were real young, and it's sort of like almost like a grandchild, and except you stuck with them all the time. So you have this kid, and you can just imagine Abraham and Sarah. And his life was Isaac. Everything about it was all about Isaac. And God said to him, Abraham, won't you take your son and kill him? Can you imagine what that must have felt like? But you see, Abraham had faith in God. If you go back and you look at what we just read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, what that tells us is this. Abraham reasoned. You see, faith is based on reason. Faith is based on hearing the Word of God, and we reason what God says. And our faith is based on that, and Abraham reasoned what God had said. God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son, his name is Isaac. Okay? Happened. It happened when they were too old and Sarah was past the age of bearing children. But not only did he promise him he would have a son, he said, through this son, I'm going to make a great nation of people. And through this son, Isaac, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And your descendants will inherit this land, the whole land of Canaan where you're living now. Now you think about that for a minute. If God promised that Isaac is going to have a whole lot of kids, he can't do that dead. And that means that God is going to have to raise him from the dead if he kills him. And if God can give him a son after Sarah is through bearing children and he's 100 years old, then God can raise Isaac from the dead. He already got him from the dead one time. Sarah, it says her womb was as good as dead. He already got Isaac from the dead one time. He can get him from the dead again. And so he reasons in his mind, and sometimes we want to try to compare it to if God told me to go kill my only son, well, there's a difference. If God said to me, Robert, you go kill your son and I'll raise him from the dead, then that would be more like what Abraham was told. But that does not minimize the act of faith on the part of Abraham. Because he had to really believe, first of all, that God would keep his word. And he had to believe, secondly, that God had the ability to raise him from the dead. And so he took his son. And he rose up early the next morning. And I've often wondered how much he slept that night. Did he sleep at all even? But he rose up early the next morning and he took his son Isaac and he took some servants with him. They took some wood and they put it on a donkey. He took some fire in a firebrand thing that they used to carry fire in. And they headed out. It was a 3 days journey from where he lived to Mount Moriah, where God told him to go. He had plenty of time to change his mind. He had plenty of time to think about what he was doing. And yet he continued on the first day, the second day, and the third day. When he got close to the mountain, he could see Mount Moriah. He told the servants, you stay here. And he took Isaac with him. And I wonder if that's not because he wanted to leave the distractions behind. You see, what would these servants have done if he started to kill his son? But rather than be distracted with the things that were around him, he left them behind. And if we're going to serve God, we have to leave the distractions behind. If we're going to live by faith, we have to leave the distractions behind. And so he left the distractions behind and he took Isaac. And he put the wood on his son Isaac and they started toward the mountain and his son looked at him and he says, Daddy, I got the wood, but you got the fire. Where's the lamb? And he said, God will provide. That's faith. God's going to take care of it. They got up to the mountain, he built the altar, he put the wood on the altar, and you can just imagine in your own mind the next scene as he grabs his son and he ties him up. He lays him up on top of that altar and he takes the knife and he draws back and he's just fixing to plunge it into the heart of his son. And God stopped him. He said, Abraham. And he stopped. He said, now I know that there's nothing you would withhold from me. If you would offer your only son to me and do what I've told you, I know that you'll do anything I tell you to do. Now God's not going to tell us today to offer up our son. He's not going to tell us to kill our children. But God is telling us every day that we need to put to death the old man. We need to live for Him. He's telling us every day that we live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. He's telling us every day, this young man that I was talking to about his problems and his faith in God and so on, and he told me, he said, Robert, sometimes I wonder why. He said, I can't help but wonder why. He said, I guess I'm not supposed to know, but why do I have to go through these? And my reply was, well, I don't know the answer to that. You know, Job never knew why he went through what he went through. We can study the book of Job and we know why Job suffered what he suffered and we know why he went through what he went through, but Job was never told. Nowhere did God ever tell Job. All God told Job was, I'm God and you're not and you do what I tell you. And Job said, yes, sir. Why? I don't know why. It may be that it's like Job because we're doing what's right. And Satan is saying, let me test this person and let me at him and I'll show you that they won't be faithful. It may be that we love somebody so much that God begins to wonder, do we love that person too much? And so they're taken away from us. It may be any number of reasons why things happen to us. But really the reason why doesn't matter. What matters is what do I do with it? Do I demonstrate my faith in God? Do I do what God says? Do I continue on even when it's hard? Do I continue on even when it doesn't make a lick of sense to me? And I don't understand. That's what we see in Abraham. That is the faith of Abraham that we are to have in our lives. And that is the kind of faith that God will count as righteousness. Because we trust Him no matter what, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how hard it is, and no matter how difficult it may be to obey. But we do it anyway. Sometimes people will say, you know, I understand that I need to do this or I need to do that, but I really just don't have my heart in it, and it's better just not to do it than it is to do it without your heart in it. No, that's not true. You think Abraham had his heart in killing his son? No. You think Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed earnestly for 3 hours and drops as blood fell from his head and he was begging God, find some other way, please. Do you think he was into it, dying for us? No. Everything about him wanted to not do that. But it was the will of God and he did it because God wanted him to do it. And we do what we do because God wants us to do it. We leave off what we leave off because God said don't do it. We serve God because that's what demonstrates our faith. In Him. And that's the kind of faith we must have if we're going to be counted as righteous. Abraham loved God. You see, Abraham wasn't looking for this world. Going back to Hebrews 11, there's an interesting statement there because Abraham wasn't just looking for this world. He had his eyes set on the world above. In Hebrews 11, beginning there in verse 8, It says he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Well, let's back up. I'm sorry, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was received for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promises, in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And verse 16 says, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Who? The men and women of faith. That's who. And God has prepared a city for us if we will live by faith and serve him by faith. God loves us so much that he offered up his son so we can be counted as righteous. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21, we read there that God made him who knew no sin, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We can be counted as righteous. But we must demonstrate our faith with a life of genuine commitment and genuine obedience. Tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you can show your faith in God by confessing Jesus as the Son of God, by turning away from sin and repentance, by being baptized into Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're subject to his invitation, we'd invite you to come as we stand and sing.